Hearts Unveiled, Part 4, Nurturing Marital Intimacy Using Empathy, Episode 155. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Welcome, Awaken You listeners, to the last week of the first month of 2024. Yep, we are wrapping it up. And my friends, it is seriously, it's January and it's like spring here in Minnesota. It is 43 degrees and the sun is shining. It is crazy. My girlfriends and I took a trip to the northern parts of the state, to Duluth, to do an icy North Shore, North Lake Superior Shore, like winter adventure. And there was hardly any snow. It was a beautiful time because I was with beautiful people, but it was sad. The weather there, we had one hike at Teteguchi, and there was snow there, which was wonderful. We hiked into the High Falls. It was gorgeous. But I don't know. I just don't know if the animals know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, tell me, how is it where you are? And how are you all navigating as we round out the month? How have you been doing with setting your intentions and creating images in your mind of who you will be at the end of this year? And if you haven't done it yet, it doesn't matter. You can do this at any point in time in your life. So don't be like, oh, I haven't done it. I need to get it done. No, do it when you're ready to do it. Let your body tell you when you need to do it or when you want to do it. No needing. I don't know about you, but the beginning of the month and that time that I spent setting intentions already seems so long ago. I haven't completely finished, to tell you the truth. I guess maybe I have, but there's still some things I want to. I never did really fully summarize my 2023, and I do want to do that yet. And I also am going to do a photo album for the year. And then when I do 2023, I want to keep going back in years because this is something I've been wanting to do. And now I feel like I'm ready to do it. I also have to say that this has been quite a sensitive month. If you have been listening, I have been sharing a personal example of conflict every week. Oh my gosh, I guess God is testing me with this vulnerability challenge, because today I will be sharing, yes, another example of reactivity. And I am really only laughing because this is something I'm working on, being less reactive. I do believe that what we choose to focus on will come to us exactly when we're ready for it. And oh boy, I keep getting examples of ways that I can work on my reactivity. But I want to share that it has been good. And I'm only speaking for myself here. I cannot speak for Jeff, but we have been pretty quick to repair. And it is giving me a lot of homework to attend to when it comes to my mindset and what went on for me, and learning from that experience instead of making that experience mean that I'm not succeeding, I'm not moving forward. This work is so important to me because even though I do catch myself being disappointed when we're in a conflict. And obviously, it's not like when we're in the conflict, I'm not being disappointed because I'm emotionally gone, right? But it is afterwards where I'm like, dang it. And why is this happening? And but it is really what I need right now. Life gives us what we ask for, everyone. It is so true. And what I do want to say right now is I want to encourage all of you, because I remember before we even knew what resolving conflict meant. And I remember when I first started working on resolving conflict. Jeff didn't even know what that was. And it was hard. And so I just want to encourage you. Things get better, and I want to encourage you that you're not doing it wrong if you're still having disagreements. You should be having disagreements if you're human. And then I also want to share, I think I was talking about all this pain that I have been in, and I finally submitted, and I went in to see my physical therapist. For any of you in the area, Keith Sullivan at Body Works. I mean, he's amazing. I went in. I guess I do have resistance about going in and getting help. Maybe that's just a general life thing, but I always think I can fix it myself. So, oh gosh. Okay, here I'm seeing something else for me to work on. Anyway, I went in this morning. It was a long session, and I actually feel amazing, but I expect that I'm going to feel it as I move through the day. So I'm hoping that it settles down some of this nerve pain I've been going through. So now we are on week 4 of this series I have been on, where we are talking about how to nurture intimacy in our marriages. And as I've been sharing in these episodes, I've been getting a lot of responses, mostly about marriages that completely lack intimacy. Of course, this is why you feel so separate, so much like roommates. And this is why I do the work that I do, because what we do desire is we desire connection. We desire to belong. And in our marriages, we want to feel like we belong, like our partner wants us, right? We want intimacy. Yet, I also want you to know that the process of nurturing intimacy starts even further back than the information that I have been sharing here in this series. When you hear what I'm talking about in this series and think, gosh, we have none of this, that is the point. The point is that we have to learn how to create this, and that's what I'm sharing with you, right? And when you've grown distant from each other, the place to start is inside of yourself. What do you do to make yourself happy? How can you bring your own happiness into the home and share it with your spouse, irregardless of how they're showing up, right? And how can you separate yourself out from how they are acting? This is all the work that we do together in the beginning of our time together. And of course, truth be told, we start wherever you are. So if you've already done that work, but want to get better in another area of your marriage, maybe it's the way you share household chores, or the way you treat each other, or ways you parent, closeness, intimacy, sex life. There's always something to work on, right? When it comes to empathy, of course, I'm going to start with Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. If you go into section 7, places where we go with others, I'm going to start with the comparison or relationship between compassion and empathy. But before I do, I want to mention how important it really is to know the differences between different emotions. Because you know, we might think sympathy and empathy are the same thing. They are not. We might think compassion and empathy are the same. They are not. This is some of the work that I teach you, how to actually feel the emotion that you're experiencing in the moment. And the best way I can tell the difference is by checking in with my body as far as the emotion that I'm experiencing. And I might get it wrong, but as I keep digging in, I kind of peel back so that I can see better. I can really hear what's under it all and figure out what emotion it is that I am dealing. It is sort of like when I think about how do I feel when I think about the specifics of each of these emotions. As I describe them, see if you can embody how you feel when you think about the emotion that I'm describing. And sometimes there is just a nuanced difference between different emotions. Brené shares that compassion is a daily practice and empathy is a skill set that is one of the most powerful tools of compassion. So you hear that? Compassion is a daily practice and empathy is a tool that we can use to feel compassion. Brené states that the most effective approach to meaningful connection combines compassion with a specific type of empathy called cognitive empathy. Later in the book, Brené states that cognitive empathy, sometimes called perspective taking or mentalizing, is the ability to recognize and understand another person's emotions. So compassion is that daily practice of recognizing and accepting our shared humanity so that we treat ourselves and others with loving kindness. And we take action in the face of suffering. And I want to reaffirm the action part. Compassion is not just a feeling. It's doing. And that doing may be simply sitting with someone who is in pain without trying to fix them or make them feel better, make them feel different, so that ultimately we can feel better, right? Because it's uncomfortable sitting with somebody who is in pain. We want to get them out of the pain so we too can feel comfortable, right? Helping them feel the discomfort is what Brené calls developing a sense of shared humanity, right? Then empathy is the emotional skill set that allows us to understand what someone is actually experiencing, right? And then reflecting back that experience. The connection piece comes when we can combine that compassion with understanding how someone is feeling, not feeling it for them, right? So that is another form of empathy called affective empathy. And that is like the experience sharing that I think most people identify empathy with. It is our own emotional attunement with another person's experience. And sometimes with that, what happens is we take on their emotions. And then Brené also shares Teresa Wiseman's research on empathy. Teresa Wiseman has 4 attributes that she assigns to empathy. And then Brené adds a 5th attribute from Kristen Neff's work on self-compassion. So the 5 attributes of empathy are perspective taking. Okay, so this perspective taking is where curiosity comes in. So last week, we talked about curiosity. So you can see how these all are connected. They all work together. Perspective taking is getting curious and asking, like, what was that experience like for the other person? How did it feel when I was acting this certain way? Or what was going on for you? Getting more information so we can start to see things from their perspective, even though we'll never see it 100% like they do, we can kind of get into their shoes. The second attribute of empathy is staying out of judgment. Big thing I'm working on this year as well. It's not saying that their perspective is right or wrong. It's just listening in order to better understand. And it is common for us in marriages. Like now, if you can get curious, like, what was that like for you? Why did you act that way? What were you feeling? And maybe they say, well, I felt like you weren't considering me. Like you didn't think that I could handle this, and that you were maybe even telling me that I was dumb, stupid. And it's not then, if you hear that, you just listen. It's not saying that is not what I was doing. And it could be after you give them a little space and being able to say, I'm sorry that you experienced that. I know that must have been really hard, but I want you to know that I love you and I don't think you're stupid. And then being able to share how you plan on working on maybe your tone of voice. The third attribute of empathy is recognizing emotion. So seeing if you can tap into what emotion may be coming up in them. And you may be completely wrong, but as we get to know our partner, we get to understand their early childhood traumas, their early childhood stories, their typical go-to story about what we're doing, what we're saying, and then learning as we have been getting curious over time, you'll start to know your partner better and you'll start to understand what emotion they may be experiencing. Yet, you don't want to say, I know you're experiencing anger right now. You want to ask them, always ask them, because you don't know. It may appear like anger. And then it is going inside of ourselves to recognize our emotion and being able to find an experience in my own life, let's say, when I maybe felt that emotion, right? So this is how we can connect with how they may be feeling. So let's say we think they're angry. We could maybe go into a time, right, in our lives when we've been angry and we know what anger feels like. So we know how they feel, but we might not know why they're feeling that way. So it's just asking more clarifying questions. And then the fourth attribute is communicating what we know about the emotion, right? So this can get complex because we are communicating to them how that emotion might be feeling, like that we might understand how that emotion feels. Now, this is not making it about you. So if they share an emotion or they affirm, yes, I am really angry right now, and you could ask, like, what is under that anger? What got you to the point of anger? And it could be that I felt offended. I felt like you weren't listening to me. And so then I protected myself more to get angry. And so then it would be you being able to put yourself in their place, maybe recognizing a time when that has happened and gathering some empathy. But not saying, oh yeah, I remember this time with my dad or with whoever, and I was so angry. And now that I think about it, yeah, I felt like I was being dismissed. Don't do that. This is about them. Let go of that story. You can just keep it in your head. And then it can be as simple as, hey, that's hard. I get that, right? You can simply say that, like, I am so sorry that that happened. That had to have been hard, and I get it. You're saying that you get hard, maybe not their hard. You haven't been in their shoes. I actually was in a conversation just recently where a woman of color was talking about certain times in her life when she had been disrespected. I just said, you know, I am so sorry that that happened. I cannot really even imagine what that would feel like, but I do know that disrespect is hard. I have felt that. It's not the same, right? The disrespect I have felt is not the same disrespect she has felt, but we can be on the same playing ground when I just am able to be there for her. And then the last one, the fifth attribute, is practicing mindfulness. And what it is mindfulness is not running away from an emotion because it just doesn't feel good, right? It is feeling it, processing, and then moving through it, talking to it, asking why it's there. And you can certainly go check out my podcast on processing emotions to help you with that. So from here, let's do another vulnerability share, my friends. Next, new conflict in the day-to-day of the stiff Bon Jovi household. As you already know, I'm using this excuse. It's not an excuse. It's a true thing. But I have been experiencing this pain that I talked about earlier. Maybe I haven't shared this part. I don't think I talked about this earlier. This pain started coming sometime after I got off crutches. So while I was on crutches, at least the pain wasn't there. That would have been more than I could probably have handled. But and it started to get better, right? But last week, well, now it's been a little over a week, I tried to do a little upper body exercise, which I really haven't done. I did very little. I did 3 sets of biceps and triceps with 10-pound dumbbells, low reps. But ever since then, the pain has skyrocketed. As you know, I did go to the therapist for some relief. Now, with that said, when I talk about things that might wear us down from our ability to self-regulate, that might give us less capacity to create space when something kind of triggers us. This is one of those things. Even when I wrote this podcast, I was preparing for this all-day outing, which included a long drive in the Jeep, right? And so I was high-dosing inflammation meds. I can't even tell you the difference in how I feel without the pain. It's like I want to dance. But this day, I was not dancing. I was in a lot of pain. I had asked Jeff to pick up something at the drugstore because he was going to get his prescriptions. To add to all of this, I was dealing with an inflamed eustachian tube. I don't know if that's what it is, but I was having sharp zapping like pain in my neck on both sides. So anyway, yeah, to even add on top of the pain that was going on, he came home with a natural sinus spray. The store was out of the Flonase that I'd asked, and the pharmacist actually told him to get this other product. And my response was not good because I was hoping I was going to get some relief, right? Like, I was looking forward to this. And so it was not good. I asked why they didn't have Flonase. And actually, the reason I asked was because I was like, gosh, last time I had it, it had been a prescription. So I thought maybe it's not an over-the-counter thing. But, you know, when I asked that, of course, my tone wasn't the best and he took it the wrong way. I really was like, why didn't you just call me? Because I don't need a sinus flush. My sinuses are not clogged. I only know that the doctor has always prescribed Flonase. So we got through that argument without resolving, right? I actually felt resolved. I had just said, okay, this is not a big deal, whatever. I am just going to go get a prescription. Not a big deal. And I had felt like it was over. I decided to go to the virtual health site and submit a case, which got me a prescription, right? I told Jeff in the end that it was not a big deal, even though he wanted to go to another store to find some Flonase. I was like, no, don't. What mostly had happened is I have been going through this period, or Jeff and I have been going through this period, as you've noticed in the conflicts that I've shared, where there has been misunderstandings. We're not communicating on a clear level. Though I'm pretty sure I had told him it was for ear infection. So this is kind of where my irritation is coming from. And actually, as I record this, there was another really big one that happened that because all of these have been going on, when I discovered this one that I'm not going to share, I just kind of had to laugh about it and I just let it go. And it was a good one anyway. Maybe I'll share that next week. You know, I had specifically asked for something. In a normal situation, this may have been a solution, this stuff that he got, but he knows I don't typically do unnatural remedies unless it's called for. So I really had said, like, in this situation, a phone call would have been better. He knew I was dealing with this pain. Oh, I'm making up all the excuses. Anyway, so let's fast forward to later in the evening. I was chatting with Jeff. Like I said, I had let it go. I was done, but I could tell he was closed down. So I asked him what was up, what was going on with him. And he said he didn't like how the situation had gone down. So I said, let's work through it. What's going on for you? He shared that he didn't like how I had talked to him, how I had spoke to him, and he didn't ask me questions. Because he doesn't understand the whole conflict resolution and the curiosity. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to the podcasts to get information. So instead of him asking questions, I answered questions to explain my point of view that would help him understand what was going on my part. And I asked for forgiveness for how I showed up. I asked what it had been like for him to go through that experience. And here is where the empathy part comes in. He shared that he was just trying to help. And he was trying to do what he could, and that he felt like he had failed, which of course was not the case. But that helped me see his perspective. It helped me to start to recognize his emotion of feeling unworthy or insignificant and being able to understand how that feels. In that moment, it took Jeff some time to process what had happened, and he was mature in taking time to do that right then and there. Now, I'm not sure if he would have if I hadn't started a conversation and noticed that he was shut down. But in that moment, when he said he wasn't sure that he was able to forgive me, he said he needed to process it. And I said, okay, how long before we can come revisit it? And he just figured it out right then and there. It took him some time, and I continued reading what I was reading. And then later, he granted me forgiveness. And so then after all of that, he granted me forgiveness, and I shared that I will continue to work on creating more awareness as I work on being not so reactive. And really, a lot of what it will be for me is I work here in the home, and my intention is to take a few minutes here in my office to transition out, to be aware of, like, how am I feeling right now? Am I a little irritated? Am I a little short on capacity? Sometimes, though, I am feeling really good. In one of these conflict episodes that I shared, I was actually in a really good mood. Remember the one where I had made dinner and he ate it before I came up? I was in a good mood until then. So we can't guarantee ever that we're not going to have conflict. But for me, much of this processing and really getting to the point of viscerally understanding how he felt came the next morning when I take time to do this work, right? So it's very timely with this being today's task to break down. So the next morning, I was really processing through the argument and putting myself in his shoes. With this, I wanted to share a few things that get in the way of us being able to be empathetic. You can see it when I start to share these. You're going to see it in my example. So falling into old patterns without any awareness of what is happening. This is exactly what has happened in each one of these episodes, right? And this could look like invalidating what their experience was, saying that it really wasn't how you meant it to be, even if it isn't, right? Their experience is their experience. Instead of trying to change their experience, let them share that. We are both thinking differently. So yes, we are each having a different experience. But what is important is that you see where they're coming from. You create some empathy. You be empathetic that you can see how that could happen from their point of view and know how that actually feels because you've had it happen or you've felt that emotion before. And if they can get curious, they can ask if that's what your intention was. Jeff wasn't there in my example, so I shared what my intention was for him to give him some insight. The second thing that can get in the way of being empathetic is falling into those old adaptive patterns of fight, flight, freeze, and people pleasing. And this goes back to awareness of your pattern, even knowing what your pattern is and being intentional about changing it. So one of the many conflicts I've shared over the past month, I shared that I went into freeze and avoidance mode. And I recognized it and I allowed it to be okay for that evening and then started working through opening up. And the third one is poor communication. That says it all, right? When we're dysregulated, this is what happens. We don't communicate well. Our brains are in fight or flight or freeze, and people are arguing based on untruths, confusion, and poor assumptions about the other. And this is what happened in this one, right? I thought I communicated clearly. I needed Flonase. I had been talking about this ear infection and this sharp pain that I had. I thought it all made sense, but obviously it didn't. So this week, I want you to pay attention to the rifts that come up between you and your spouse, or you and anyone for that matter. It doesn't need to be your partner. It might be somebody a little less maybe important, a coworker, and see if you can grab onto some curiosity to help you understand what the other person is experiencing. And then if you can connect that to a time in your life when you felt that emotion and then be able to reflect back to that person without making it about you. Don't go into your story. All you need to do is say that you get it and that you've felt that before in your life and that must suck, or I'm sorry that you're experiencing that. If you struggle with empathy, and maybe it's the actual meaning of what empathy is, or you just want to talk about something that you're stuck on in your own relationship, it can be anything that maybe set you off, got the energy between you low, and you don't know how to bring it back up and create connection again, then that is what a courageous love conversation is for. Go ahead down into the show notes, book yourself one of those calls, and I will help you work through it. I'll help you find some clarity and some next steps to start moving in the right direction. Until next week, stay committed to taking steps forward, and please don't make struggles mean that you're going backwards, that it isn't working. If there wasn't any struggle, it wouldn't be any fun, right? Because it's when we get through the struggle that we get that feeling of accomplishment. All right, my friends, I love you all. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life, we study it, and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.